Well, good morning. God bless. This is Gary Anderson. How are you doing this morning? I'm going to tell you a story this morning about Joseph, a young man who was very, very faithful and had a heart of service. And because of that, God used him to not only to save Egypt during time of famine, but the entire Hebrew nation as well. A young man, but yet on the other hand, this young man was so despised and hated by his brothers that by the time he was 17, they saw him coming and began plotting, kill him and dispose of his body. But before I get into any details on that, I want to give you a little bit of background on this. Jacob, his father, who became Israel after wrestling with an angel, was traveling through an area and saw this woman, Rachel, and thought she was the most beautiful thing he had ever seen. And so he went up to Laban, her dad, and said, "I want to marry your daughter, Rachel." And he said, no problem. All you have to do is work for me for 7 years, and she's yours. So Jacob, or Israel, begins working for Laban. And after 7 years, I mean, that time went by fast. You'd have thought it was 7 months. But then the wedding takes place. His wife is veiled. And then, you know, during the ceremony, and then they go back to their tent, and they sleep together. That was how the custom was done. But in the morning, he wakes up, and he finds Leah next to him. And he goes, wait a minute. This isn't what I bargained for. I was working for Rachel. So he goes back to Laban, and he says, explain to me what happened. How did I end up with Leah? And so Laban says, "Oh, don't you realize it's our tradition? We always give the older sister away first, and then we marry off the younger sisters. That's just how it is in this area." Now, you'd think that after 7 years that would have been explained to Jacob, but somehow or other it got lost in the translation. And so now he's with Leah, and he says, okay, I told you up front that I wanted Rachel. Now, what do I need to do to get Rachel? And so Laban says, oh, no big thing. All you have to do is work another 7 years, and then I'll give her to you as well. So, okay, he huffs and he puffs, and he works another 7 years for Rachel. But during that time, he's married to Leah, the older sister, and she starts producing children. First came Reuben, then Simeon, then Levi, then Judah, and she has a number of children. And when she gets barren, then her handmaid, Zilpah, starts producing children under Jacob. And from her comes Gad and Asher. Well, finally, this 7 years is up. And so now he has been working a total of 14 years for Rachel. And lo and behold, Rachel is barren immediately off, out of the chute. And so what do I do? So again, according to the tradition of the land, he goes to Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, and they have two children together, Dan and Naphtali. And then lo and behold, Rachel gets pregnant. So Joseph is what Jacob wanted for 14 years. He wanted a son by Rachel. And so Rachel produces Joseph. And then when Benjamin, his younger brother, is born, she dies during childbirth. And so now there are 12 sons. And 10 of those sons from Leah and Zilpah and Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid and Leah's handmaid, all are together, and they're out feeding goats. And they go wide, and they have a wide range of areas where they feed the goats. And so they're out feeding the goats, they're taking care of the flock. And Joseph is sent by his father, Jacob, out to check on his brothers to see how they're doing. So being a faithful young man and always trying to do the right thing, he goes out and finds his brothers, and they're out in a far, far land, many, many miles away. And they see him coming. His brothers see him coming from afar off. Now, these are his half-brothers, because these 10 brothers who are out there with the flock are of 4 different mothers. 4 different mothers. Leah, the first wife. Zilpah, her handmaid. Then Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid. And finally, Rachel, who had Joseph and Benjamin in that order. And so by this time, these guys really, really, literally hate Joseph. And so they see him coming, and he's easy to spot because he's wearing a coat of many colors. And it's very unique robe that he's wearing to this part of the country. And they know that that's got to be him, because he's coming straight toward them, and he's wearing this coat of many colors. And so they start plotting as to how to kill him and how to dispose of the body. And so Reuben, the oldest of the brothers, says, no, let's don't kill him. Let's take him and sell him, and let not his blood be upon our hands. And so rather than kill him, they throw him into a well, and some Ishmaelites come by, and they sell them to the Ishmaelites. Now they take Joseph, and they've separated him from his coat, and they take the coat, and they dip it in goat's blood, and then they go back to their father many, many days later when they return to their area. They say, we found this coat. Any idea who it belongs to? And Jacob goes bonkers. He just has kittens. I mean, he's so downtrodden that he starts ripping off his clothes, because that was the son that he had worked 14 years for. 14 years for. And by all means, his favorite son. And he made no bones about it. Well, his half-brothers, they pretended they didn't know. They thought they'd show it to their dad just in case he might recognize it. But they knew all the time exactly what they were doing. And so he's distraught. And just his son is gone. And some wild animal devoured him. And in his mind, his son is gone. Well, in the meantime, the Ishmaelites take Joseph and they sell him to Potiphar. Potiphar is an officer in the captain's guard, an officer and a captain in Pharaoh's guards. So he's a captain, a high-ranking, basically chop brass in Pharaoh's personal bodyguards. And so Potiphar buys him, and immediately Joseph starts just demonstrating his godly skills, and is over time, over the first few weeks, becomes over everything that Potiphar has, he puts in Joseph's hands. And Joseph makes the decision as to what happens here, what happens there, and so on and so forth, because he has obviously a godly man, and he is obviously just well-favored and very, very sharp and very, very wise. And so, again, what Potiphar does is he puts him in as the overseer of his house and over all that he had. And the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Jacob's sake. And the blessings of the Lord was upon him, all that he had in his house and in the field, because of this one man stand, a 17-year-old kid named Joseph, who walked with God. Then later on, down in verse 20, we're in chapter 39, where his master took him and put him in prison. Well, what happened between being over the entire household and now being cast by Potiphar into prison? Very simple. Potiphar's wife had the hots for Joseph, and she let him know on a consistent, regular basis that she wanted him to lay with her, and kept asking him over and over again, come lay with me, come lay with me. And Joseph said, no. No, I won't do this. Because how can I do this great sin against God and against your husband, Potiphar? I have access to everything in this household except you. This is Joseph talking to Potiphar's wife. And so she accuses him. He comes into the house, all the male servants are gone, and she grabs him by the arm and says, come, lay with me. And Joseph just runs. And she holds on to his sleeve. And so now he's run out of his robe. He does not want to have anything to do with this woman, not sexually anyhow. And so then she gets together with all the male servants of the house, and she says, you know what? That Hebrew, talking about Joseph, came in here, and Potiphar brought him in here to harass us, to belittle us. And she's talking to all the male servants. And look, here's his robe. I have it. He tried to lay with me, and I fought him off. And he ran. Then Potiphar comes home, and she tells him the same story. And so now he's got an Egyptian wife and a Hebrew slave, and he has to make a decision as to who's telling the truth. Well, I think if he knew his wife, he probably knew who was telling a lie. But because she is his wife, an Egyptian, he has to side with her. So he takes Joseph and throws him into Pharaoh's prison. Into his prison, the people who've done wrong to Pharaoh. And in prison, the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. His character, his integrity, and that God on the inside of him was so clearly evident that even in prison, he's put in charge of everybody in the prison. And he makes a decision as to who does what, when, where, and how. Well, along with that, then by the time you get down to chapter 40, there comes, finds himself sitting down with the chief butler and the chief baker. And they're looking really perplexed. And he says, so what's going on? What's wrong? And the chief butler says, well, you know, I had a dream last night. And in that dream, and he tells him about the dream. And so Joseph interprets that dream through God and through the power of God. And he says, 3 days from now, Pharaoh is going to come down here and pull you up out of this prison and restore you back to his right-hand man, the guy who serves him, his food and beverages and all of that. You will be restored back to your job as the king's cupbearer. Well, the chief baker hears this, and so he says, well, you know, Joseph, I had a dream last night, too. He says, okay, what was your dream? And so he tells him his dream. And in that, there were three white baskets that were sitting on his head, and so on and so forth. And so Joseph interprets his dream. And he said, in 3 days, you too will be taken out of prison by Pharaoh. But with you, Pharaoh's going to hang. And the birds are going to eat your flesh. So that's not what he was looking for. He was looking for a good interpretation like the chief butler got. But that's not what he got. And sure enough, in 3 days, both men are taken up by Pharaoh. The chief butler is restored to bringing the cup to Pharaoh, and the chief baker is taken out and hanged. Now, as Joseph finishes telling these men the story, he says to the chief butler, remember me when you're back in the Pharaoh, remember me, because I have not done anything wrong. But lo and behold, the chief butler forgets about him. Okay, and so now we get down to chapter 41. And it came to pass at the end of 2 years, now Joseph is 30 by now, he's turned 30, Pharaoh has a dream, and behold, he stood by a river, and there came out of the river 7 cows that were kind, and they were well-favored, plump. And there also came out of the river 7 cows that were lean and skinny. And the skinny cows ate the 7 cows that were fat. And then the dream is repeated, because in the second time the dream is given, it concerns, you know, corn as it was growing on the cob, the ears of corn. And this time there are 7 thin ears of corn that devoured the 7 full ears of corn. And so Pharaoh's troubled. So he gets his men together. He gets the magicians, and nobody can tell him what that dream means. Well, the chief butler hears this. And so he says unto Pharaoh, I do remember my faults this day. Verse 9, chapter 41. He said, I remember my faults this day. And Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, and so he put both of us in the prison, the chief butler and the chief baker. But me, you restored back to being a cupbearer. But we had a dream as well. And there was this Hebrew young man who, over the captain of the guard's house, And he told them and interpreted to us our dreams. And each man, according to his dream, did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me, he restored unto mine office, and the chief baker was hanged, according to the interpretation. And Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and they brought him out hastily. Now, what, as an Egyptian Hebrew, they grew beards, and their hair was a particular length, and so on and so forth. And that was the Hebrew culture. In the Egyptian culture, though, they were clean-shaven. And so what Joseph does is he quickly changes clothes and shaves to go before Pharaoh and give him an answer to his dream. And so what he does, and Pharaoh answered, and Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, "It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. It's not in me to interpret your dream, but God's going to give you an answer of peace that will set you at peace with what you saw in your two dreams." And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "In my dream," and he goes on and repeats the dream. And when he finishes that dream, Joseph says, basically, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good kine, or cows, are 7 years. And the seven ears, good ears, are 7 years. The dream is one. And the seven thin kine, or cows, came up after the 7 years. And the bottom line is, there's going to be 7 years of plenty. That's what the good cows and the large ears of corn represented. But then each one of those was devoured by thin cows and thin ears, because that indicated, according to Joseph and according to God, the way God gave him the interpretation, that there'll be 7 years of very hard famine following those good years. And so let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land, 20% of it, of Egypt in the seven plenteous years, and let them gather all of the food of these good years, that when it, that come, and lay upon corn on Pharaoh's hand, and let them keep food in the cities. So the bottom line is, take during the 7 years of good years and store and put away plenty of food, grain, and so on and so forth, during the plenteous years. And then when the 7 years of famine comes, you'll have plenty to give out, and you'll have plenty to take care of your nation, the Egyptians. And so Pharaoh's sitting there, and he goes, "Well, who do you think would be a good guy to handle that, to oversee that?" And he gets to thinking, and he thinks, "Joseph, you're the man. Since God is working with you and giving you that interpretation and telling you how it ought to be done, I want you to take charge." And so Joseph gets the signet ring. He gets a chariot of his own. He's put over all of everything that is to be done is to be at Joseph's hands. "Joseph, and according to thy word, shall all the people be ruled." So in 24 hours, Joseph goes from prisoner in the Pharaoh's prison to the number two man in the kingdom. And everybody is bowing to him. Everybody. Well, lo and behold, the seven good years go by, And now the 7 years of famine starts. And about Jacob, who is now, his sons are in a far off land, and they hear that that Egypt has plenty of food. So he sends his sons up to Egypt to buy food. And so they go up there, get there. Now there are 10 of the sons that came up to get food, and they bring their gold and silver that to buy the food. And lo and behold, they come before Joseph. Now they don't recognize Joseph because it's been over 20 years since they've seen him. And he was 17 the last time they saw him, and now he's well over 30. Joseph recognizes them, though. And through asking questions, he finds out that his father is still alive and that Benjamin, his younger brother, is with his father. And his 10 brothers, or 10 half-brothers, are before him. And so he sets up a series of things that they have to do to get food. And one, you know, of course, they have to pay for it. And then he tricks them by sending their money back in the bags with the food that they take. And they don't realize it at first. And they get about halfway back to their home, and they look in their bags, and there's the money, their original money. And they go, wow, what am I going to do? How do I do this? And they don't know. So they go back to their father, Jacob, and say, look, we got the food, but we each found what we had paid in the top of our bags with the food. What do you want us to do? And so the year goes by, and it's time to go back and get food again. So Jacob sends them back, the same 10 back, and this time, because in asking them questions, Joseph asks them questions, and they find out that he has his brother Benjamin is still alive, but he doesn't. They don't know he's Joseph, but he finds out about his. You know, he asks about his father and how he's doing, and he asks about the youngest of the brothers, Benjamin, and how he's doing, and so he tells them, the next time I see you, I want you to bring me your youngest brother, so that I may see him also. And so they go back, and now Joseph is sending them off with the food, and they get back to Jacob, and so now it's time to get food again. And so Jacob sends them back to get food. And so what's happening now is they're saying, but we can't go back without Benjamin. And Joseph told them, or they didn't know it was Joseph, but the man in charge of the food said not to come back without your youngest son. And so Jacob just has kittens again. I mean, he doesn't know what to do. He's already lost one son, he thinks, to a wild animal. And now he's about to lose a second son from Rachel, and he just doesn't know what to do. So one of the sons decides, look, I will take personal responsibility for this, for bringing Benjamin back. So they go again to Joseph and ask him for food. And in doing so, they say, look, I don't know how it happened. I don't know what happened. But here's the money from the first food we bought. And here's another set of monies for the food that we want now. The bottom line is, Joseph finally just breaks down and says, look. And he cries. He said, I am your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into slavery. God brought me here and put me in charge so that I could help you guys and be here to help in the 7 years of famine. And their jaws hit the floor. They don't even think Joseph's still around anymore. And by now, he looks like an Egyptian and wearing Egyptian robes. And so the bottom line is, what eventually happens is Jacob's family And all of the Hebrews are brought in to live in Egypt. And they're fed by Egyptians through the plenteous of stores that Joseph has set up. And so they're taken care of through the 7 years of famine, because God had prepared Joseph to go into there and to prosper in everything he touched and in everything he did, and to clearly be a man of God and in whom God worked. And so now everything is taken care of. And because one man stood faithful and did the right thing, even though it must have been very hard at times, his brothers hated him. They plotted to kill him when they saw him coming. They sold him into slavery into Potiphar's house. He was then falsely accused by Potiphar's wife and thrown into prison. But God was with him. And every time, through every situation, because of his attitude and because of his ethics, God continued to cause him to prosper. And everything in his hand prospered along with him. That's why, as I said in the beginning, Joseph, because of his attitude, saved a nation. He saved a nation. Because what God did, and tell him what to do, so that when the time came, he would carry out those orders.